Welcome to Cabronas y Chingonas, a podcast where we talk about queer and Latinx topics, such as...
gay icon Megan, the robot killer. Honestly, like, yeah, there's some moments where you're a little bit like, are you a lesbian mother? You know, like, you're giving, you know, a little something. Like, yeah, you've definitely been to a gay club, or at least you, your programming told you what it was like. I don't know. There's something there.
There's some ooms, Charlie XEX to her.
Megan XEX.
Hey.
What up, Cabrona?
What's poppin', Chingona? Shout out to 2023.
I don't know why, but 2023 is giving, like, a gay icon year. Like, it's going to be a good gay year.
The whole year is gay now. We claim it. Yeah. Everything that happens is because the gays made it iconic, and just like Megan.
Yeah, even just, like, the year 2023, it's just giving homosexual.
It's so giving homosexual, odd number.
I won't be taking any questions.
I love that. I love that energy. Dude, we're finally, like, healed. Sorry, guys. I got really sick at the end of the year and it kind of ruined my own birthday and Christmas, too. So, I can breathe now, though. So, that's what's important. So, sorry for the late episode. We had this planned out way in advance when I could still breathe. And we're back. So, apologies.
As well as a ton of other episodes. Like, we have so many things that we have to talk about and just haven't done. In fact, like, the last thing that we talked about, Warrior Nun, has been canceled. Like, without...
oh, God.
Like, no... I mean, I think we sort of, like, thought this might happen, but at the same time, like, it's such a good season of television.
It is.
Makes no sense.
There's this, like, inside conspiracy theory that, like, more, like, streaming services are leaning more conservative. And I don't know, like, it goes back to, like, all the propaganda and, like, the status quo of, like, we can't be seen, we can't be represented. And it's kind of, like, on purpose at this point, I believe, just because of the way that Netflix is canceling, like, lesbian sapphic shows. You know, it's just, it's a pattern and we've noticed it. And I'm really, really sick and tired of it. And, like, the only rep we do get is, like, really shitty ones. Like, no offense, but full offense to, like, why was there a musical episode of the new L Word, Generation Q? I did not watch that. I was like, look, y'all have pushed me far enough and now I'm gone. Y'all did this to yourself. Like, y'all are throwing shit at the wall and seeing what sticks. And I'm sorry. I'm not, this isn't the one. No. It got worse.
Specifically with Netflix, though, not one single tiny itty bitty shred of promo for a brand new show called La Flor Más Bella. So here it is. I'm giving it to you. I'm telling you about the show that Netflix will never promote called La Flor Más Bella. It's incredible, top to bottom.
It has, like, all of the rep we have been, I don't know, screaming on a soapbox on this podcast about, like,
for years.
Like, queer fat, like, representation, Latinx representation, Latina representation, whatever, whichever you prefer. And I'm sorry, if y'all are still arguing about which one you prefer on the internet, you're a loser. Anyways, it doesn't matter. Say which one you like, and we will say that one, okay? Like, if you're still arguing about it, get a life. Please go actually, like, you know, change the world instead of, like, just talking on the internet, as says the person on a podcast. But anyways.
Back to what, anyways, the point is that Netflix is canceling a really good show, but this incredibly, like, active and community-based movement has rallied behind Warrior Nun.
Yes.
And, like, low-key, like side spearheaded by our friend Chesco, which has been really, really, really fun to witness. We should link this Thirst Tweets video that they did with one of the main actresses from Warrior Nun, because it's excellent.
Dude, it was so random, because, like, one day I just see her, like, I see Chesco, and I'm like, is my main flirting with a celebrity, like, is one of my, like, mutuals flirting with a celebrity on her main? I was like, girl, this ain't your burner. This is your main. Like, what are you doing? And she literally DM'd me, was like, girl.
Oh, okay, you're not supposed to out the DMs.
But. Oh, right. Yeah. She did not DM me. No DMs were exchanged. Like, it's just, it's hilarious. Like, shout out to her and all
and
of that.
And listen to our interview with Cheska if you come from the Warrior Nun world. We interviewed her years ago. But
yeah, like, Cheska's a bad bitch. Go look into her resume. Go look at the work she's done. Like, she's not just, you know, a regular schmegular person. Like, that's a baddie right there. Go check out her work, okay? It's amazing. And we got a chance to meet her early on in the CYC fucking universe, I guess. I don't know. I was thinking about that, dude.
Ages ago.
Like, 2018? 2017? Yeah. I don't even
know
the year.
Same day that we met the Functional crew, because she helped with Functional, which we talk about Functional all the time. She was literally DP for season one.
Yes. Oh my god, dude. Oh, LA. Like, oh my god, dude. Yeah. I haven't been there in a while, and it's going to be a while because, like, I need to get my shit together. But what a con. Like, y'all don't understand. Like, it's so hard making anything, and doing it yourself, like, is so much harder. And it's just so much cooler to meet badass people that just make shit on their own, because they're just like that. These people are just hardwired to just do it themselves. And it's like, same mood. Yeah. I feel that spiritually. So shout out to Cheska and everyone in Functional, like, bad bitches. Like, but anyways, we digress as per usual.
The holidays obviously for you were very sickly. Did you get to make any New Year's resolutions?
I'm just gonna, like, keep being a bad bitch this year, and hopefully I don't get sick as much. I'm actually trying to take care of, like, building a routine with myself so that I get in the habit of, like, taking care of myself, like, real self-care. Like, I'm, like, I joined the gym, but it's not for any other reason that I literally couldn't walk for, like, there's periods of my life where I couldn't really walk. So now I'm taking full advantage of movement and just, like, trying to take care of my back and stuff. So I don't join gyms to lose weight. I join gyms so I can walk. Like, it's that simple. Like, I being mobile isn't always, like, a given out here. So I'm just trying to, like, move my body so that I don't lose my body. So what about you?
Like, echoing 100% what you're saying. I was off my feet for, like, you know, 2 weeks, a very miserable 2 weeks.
That's because, right,
I messed my ankle up beyond what I could imagine. Now I want to be in a position where I'm strong in of body and mind, and I've stopped drinking, and yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I'm so proud of you. You got this.
I just want to be, like, yeah, I want to try and be, like, 100% the best that I can be. Instead of half-assing it.
Welcome to this side, dude. Like, you have more energy, and you sleep better, and you feel better.
And you spend less money on really bad food, yeah.
That part, you're not, like, ordering trash at 2 a.m, and, like, you're not, like, also, like, you know, fucking up your liver, and you only get one. So it's good to take breaks, you know? Like, just take a break. You don't have to see it as, like, forever, but it's, like, oh, right. I'm just taking a break right now, and you're going to feel so much better.
So. Yeah, exactly. Oh, I know, dude, that it's not going to be hard until I start going to soccer games again. Shout out to ACFC. But we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, no, dude. Like, you'll find that you have, like, just as much fun when you don't drink. Like, it's, you want to because everyone else is doing it. But at the same time, like, you're like, ooh, now that I'm on this side, like, y'all look a little wild. But I'm going to take care of y'all. I got y'all. It turns you into, like, the responsible mom friend, but, like, not on purpose. You're just kind of like, oh, well, it's me.
Yeah.
I'm the DD. But, yeah, it's fine, dude. You got this. I'm excited for you. That's awesome.
We'll see how it goes.
And I'm trying to read more, of course. Like, I got this book by Meiko Kawakami. It's called Breasts and Eggs. And it's about, like, you know, why are people choosing to make other humans? You know, like, what does that mean? You know, in, like, today's society, to, like, choose to give birth, choose not to give birth, or want to and not have the ability to. Like, I find that interesting now that I'm entering my 30s and I'm like, I definitely don't want to give birth, you know, like, it's not for me. But shout out to all the people that choose that, or people that just, it happens to, you know, like, so shout out to the people that give birth, and shout out to the other people that are mothers. But like, yeah, it's not me, so shout out to y'all though.
Yeah, that is wild. Could not be me.
No, yeah, I don't, it's not happening.
Yeah, it's always good to read. I love reading. I go into like full phases and I forget to live my life, but maybe I can control that this year. I don't know.
No, yeah, it's like, you know, just like, I don't know, whenever you're mobile, just take it with you. So surprisingly, I don't know. But yeah, so what are we going to be talking about today? I'm excited.
Well, you know, we have to celebrate New Year's CYC way and talk about what our top film and television picks are for this year, for last year, for 2022.
Ooh, last year!
Oh, well, year 2022, man. Yeah.
We were totally going to do this on time, y'all, but, like, life, you know.
I call this a win. Early, like-ish January, I mean, that's not so bad.
That's true. Like, and there's not much happening in January other than people trying to like set their goals, and like while you're at the gym you could watch all of these, or while you're just like at home chilling doing nothing, or like if you're taking a break from reading, or in the background while you cook, you know, this is something you can, you know, you can listen to us and then also watch these movies and these TV shows, I think.
Yeah, for sure. Well, TV, I think, like you mentioned to me before we started recording, kind of took the cake this year. Like, it's just, it was just some good television out there. So we're going to start with that.
Yeah. TV was amazing this year. As a movie person, I spent a lot more time watching series this year. And we collaborated on this list and we completely agree with the order of this list. And we're going to take it from, like, number 10 to number 1 this year from
a countdown. Yeah, a
countdown.
And you know, even if things are like low on the list, like that is out of like a lot of stuff that has come out this year. Like, this is still the cream of the crop. Okay, like, it's still good.
Okay, so for number 10 on our TV shows this year, we chose Sex Life of College Girls. I find that the lesbian representation has like changed, shifted, got a little bit better, and in fact she is the only character I like. Shout out Renee Rapp. Her acting is amazing. All the other girls are doing great too, but her story is kind of the only one I'm interested. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, she took high focus this season and like has, I think, as of the end of season two, like sort of shifted from like this, you know, bad guy character to fully being like a good roommate slash human and like the most wholesome one, which who would have thought, you know, like,
yeah,
blonde rich girl who judges everybody is now like
super like
sweetie pie. Like,
we're all fans of her.
You know, character development is like the whole reason that I am TV over film always, so this is just one of those reasons. The show is really killing it.
Show's doing amazing.
And it got renewed for season 3. Miracles happen, I guess.
Yeah. We'll see how that happens because of the impending supposed, alleged writer's strike that's going to happen. Maybe. I don't know.
we'll see, I guess. But next on our list, number 9, we haven't actually talked about this because, you know, we did cover Sex Lives of College Girls, but we haven't covered The Bear, and we might not. Who knows? We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
But The Bear took, you know, Twitter and the world by storm. It was such an incredible show. And just, yeah, like, honestly, the main character plays the exact same person that he does on Shameless, but it really fit well with the storyline, so nobody minded, like, at all.
He played Lip twice.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, I mean, the star for us wasn't him.
No, not at all. Like, here comes sous chef Ayo Edebiri, like, to kill the game.
Yeah.
Icon. Twitter people know. If you know, you know.
If you know, you know. I think, like, she, I don't know if she's nominated for anything, and she should be.
Yeah, I don't know that Emmy nominations have come through, but we were fangirling about her earlier this year because she's going to be in another show.
Yes. With Rachel Sennett, where I think it's either a show or a movie where they both play.
It's a show, I'm pretty sure.
A show? Yeah. Where they're going to be they're going to be in a fight club so they can get dates with girls. Apparently, I don't know how that works logically, but I'm super excited to see where that goes. And Rachel Sennett and her seem like perfectly like the comedic timing, the bouncing that they do off of each other. Like, I'm super excited to see what happens. And we have been knowing about this since, I think, what's the movie that Rachel Sennett was in?
Shiva Baby. Yeah.
Since Shiva Baby, they had talked about this. It was in development. So it's been a good 2-3 years now that we've known
maybe
about this.
Maybe one or two.
Well, Shiva Baby came out in 2020, or was it 2021? Dear God. You know what?
I don't know, but we didn't cover it until later.
Yeah, we didn't. But yeah, but anyways, I'm excited about it.
It's going to be incredible. Hyped. Yeah.
It's going to be amazing.
The star power.
Hell yeah. For number 8, we have Tegan and Sarah's High School that's now on Freevee on Amazon Prime for free as long as there's ads.
There's commercials. I don't know if you guys remember those.
But it's like, they're kind of nice now. Like, it's like, wow, a break. I can get up and go do something. It's kind of nice, I will admit. Okay, so this one was a shocker for me. I binge watched it in like 2 days and I really liked it. And I really, if you don't know, it's also based on the high school experience and a book written by Tegan and Sarah, which is out and y'all can buy it. And it's currently on my wife's book, her nightstand. It's one of her favorite books. It's a goodie. Y'all should read it and watch it. I really like it. It's giving queer 90s high school. I don't know.
Yeah.
What do you think about it? You initially were the one that put us onto it. I forgot it existed.
Yeah, I watched it and I was immediately like, oh, this is right up your alley. Because I enjoyed it. I liked it. But part of that is just that I like Colby Smulders a lot. But
oh, that's right.
Who's the mom? yeah, very grungy, so 90s. Like a little awkward and slow, but like in a really good way, like very indie. I enjoyed it quite a bit. Yeah, so I recommend it.
It's a great one. It's a good one.
Next one, I thank you endlessly for forcing me to watch this. Las Bravas, number 7. Like,
hell yeah.
This was before I got back into my soccer phase, but like I love watching any soccer based TV, football based TV.
Football.
And yeah, I watched this one a couple of times through. We covered it and we were just both like, damn, this one really hit. Like, I hope it gets a season 2 for real, for real.
It's like it perfectly like encapsulates like the goofiness of like Mexican like culture. Like, it's just fun. It's a fun fucking time. Like, you don't have to necessarily understand anything. It's just, it's a fun time. And there's so many jokes in there. It is centered a little bit too much on the coach and not enough on the badass women in it. And there's actually, there's someone in there who's amazing. And she stood out maybe the most for us because she was a badass. She knew her worth and she was also like a thicker woman, and she's also the star of our very next show, number six. La Flor Más Bella. Shout out to her. You know what, I don't know her name.
Well, while you look that up, I have to hype this show because I literally accidentally came across it. Like, I haven't like it was an accident that I came across this show because obviously it wasn't going to come up on like my main screen on Netflix because they are doing nothing to promote this. It was like some like gay Twitter that posted like one screenshot and I had to go do research. Like, it was crazy. Nobody's promoting this show except for the people on the show.
Wow, I didn't know that. So Esmeralda Soto plays Mitch in this and she's also in Las Bravas.
La Mitch.
And she plays like this. Is it too, like, I'm going to call her like a queer high school student who is finding herself. And the best thing about this show is that there's no doubt in her mind that she's a baddie. The entire show is this amazing, confident woman, this child who's going to be a confident woman. Yeah. She's a kid. In real life, she's a woman, but she's a kid. And there's no doubt in your mind that she's a baddie. All her friends are baddies. They're doing cool shit. It's set in Xochimilco in Mexico City, Ciudad de Mexico. And they're not shying away from its Mexicanness. They're not shying away from the Mexican conversation either. They're constantly talking about class and race in the show. And that's such a real thing in Mexico. And I'm glad that they talk about it. And I'm glad that they're talking about religion, queerness, femininity, feminism, machista shit. Like, they're really tackling things the way that I wish other shows had the capacity to tackle it in a natural way, not an after-school way.
Not in a Ginny and Georgia way. Like, RIP to everybody that had to watch that second season.
Oh, God. I'm never watching that show. Thank God.
No, like, this show actually nailed it. Like, talking about, mm-hmm. like, all these, like, issue type of topics without it being forced.
It's amazing. And we don't get to see that kind of representation, and especially on Netflix. Please go watch this show. I want, like, 18 seasons of her doing anything. And shout out to Esmeralda Soto for being that bitch. Because, like, seriously, she carries this show just so easily. And I love that it's queer. And I love that it's, like, you know, even their idea, like their conversations on sexuality are just, like, beyond. They're actually, like, I think relevant to today's, like, Gen Z society. Like, I don't know them kids like that, but I feel like it's relevant to them.
And, like, just the, you know, having this, like, plus size character, like, believe that she's the star of the show and then become the star of the show, like,
yes.
Within the show, like, you know, within her life, it's incredible. It's rare to see, like, somebody desired like that. It's just really, really cool.
It's realistic too, because let's be honest, like, bad bitches in real life get shows, and she's a bad bitch, like,
getting hella shows. Yeah, it.
She gets shows. But yeah, so it's delightful. Please watch.
we'll cover this, because it does deserve, like, a full episode. This, which is why we went into it so much. But number 5 is This Fool.
This Fool.
A delight. And it's already gotten a season 2, and they've already started casting. Like, so that's how you know it's real. I'm very, very excited for this show to go even further. Right? Because they talk about, like, they talk about Latinidad, I think, in, like, a complex way, because we have so many shows that show people in the hood or, like, formerly incarcerated people or Latinos in this very particular way. Like, we're always gangbangers or, like, struggling and, like, you know, to be good people. But in this particular show, it's not that at all, right? It's, I mean, not that it's not at all that, but it's like us doing good things and doing our best, like, you know, this guy who's, like, not at all what you would typically see in these kinds of shows, just being a nerd, a little bit of a dork, like, just trying to do good, and he's got his own issues. Yeah, I think it was good.
I think it's, like, really, like, playing with the stereotypes that, you know, American society has of, like, what it means to be, like, incarcerated, what it means to live in the hood and be, like, you know, a Latin person, like, just existing. But the reality is, like, we're all just a little bit more complex and, you know, more layered than these stereotypes. And I love that it, like, plays with that. It's like, oh, you think I'm this, I'm actually, there's just so many other layers here, we contain multitudes on this side. And I love that it's an honest reflection of what it means to, like, take up that kind of space and, like, be poor. And it's also very, like, California in a very specific way, but it's also very representative of, like, living in the hood but not being, like, any of those things and without being that stereotype. So I don't know. It's lovely. I love that show.
And it highlights how fucking goofy we are. Like, humor is, like, our main state of being.
Yes, it's just goofy shit. That's real. I don't know. It plays with the stereotypes, and I love it. Number 4 is Abbott Elementary, and all of you have seen it. It's on ABC on Wednesdays at 8 Central Time. Oh my god,
the day after. Yeah,
Or The Day After on Hulu. But it's I mean, if you, we're all like BuzzFeed's kids. Me and you are BuzzFeed kids. We're like millennials. So like Quinta is not like a new person to us. Neither is Zach Fox, and like
neither Vince is Everybody Staples. Hates Chris. Yeah.
Everybody Hates Chris. Like, it is like a reunion of people. Shirley Ralph, like, this cast is just full of people that millennials know, and it was like made for us. Like, it's a perfect representation of like millennials existing in the workforce and being super enthusiastic and at the same time being like wrong and learning your way through life. And it's very like office-y, but like it's The Office I would have preferred to watch, and that's why it is probably getting the ratings that it's getting. It's because, you know, it's similar to that kind of style of show, and it's definitely inspired by it, and I just think it's remixed into a way that like we would like, you know.
It does not need. Does not shy away from being original. Like, it's not trying to pander to this wide set of audiences. No, it's gonna be so granular to the point that you can't help but laugh at the fact that Barbara can't for the life of her get those actors' names correctly. Like, yeah, it's incredible. I'm so happy for that entire cast, and like for Jesse from Parent Trap. Like,
yes,
yeah, it just has my whole ass heart.
I love them. Renew it for like 8 more seasons, forever. Like, forever Abbott Elementary.
Yeah, and likewise for this next one, number 3, which we've covered before because like it's just such an incredible little gem that no one talks about. It's called Sort Of on HBO Max.
Yes,
and season 1 blew us away. Season 2 came back with a vengeance. Just so incredible. Like, has such a, once again, such a wide variety of representation.
Oh, yes.
And just does not get bogged down with the details. Like, it's still emotional for anyone that watches this, you know? So I highly recommend it. I hope it gets season 3. I don't even know how I got a season 2, but I'm stoked that it did.
Because it's
very
okay.
Short season. Like, 6 episode seasons, very short.
It's not just, like, gay. It's, like, super queer. Like, it's beyond, like,
your
it's
typical,
political.
Yeah, it's, like, yeah, it's just next level human and funny. Yeah, I love it.
Oh my god, the writing on Sort Of has made me cry so many times. It's one of my favorite things on HBO Max. Mm-hmm. Shout out Canada. Like,
yeah,
it's so well made, so well written. I'm obsessed. I love everything about that show, and everyone should watch it, please.
Absolutely.
Oh my god. So the next one is also, I mean, it's number 2. So it deserves this spot.
It earned the spot, yeah.
It deserves a spot. It's taken something that, you know, from our, it should have been gay, to the, oh my god, this is the gayest thing I've ever seen. Thank you, God. Shout out League of Their Own. Oh my god, this show was everything I didn't expect, honestly. I honestly expected it to be way less gay and way less beautiful. There's so many episodes that really just, like, I was shook, you know? And admittedly, I did want more Max.
Right.
But it's fine.
Yeah. I was so pleasantly surprised by this show. And a little surprised by how much I related to it. Like, just, like, the experiences of hiding and such.
Oh, god, yeah.
Because, you know, there's many a decade in between their experience and mine, but yeah, it wasn't, we're not even that far away from that time, you know, so it found a way to be so relatable in the present despite being about so far in the past, and like didn't make it all white, which they definitely could have gotten away with.
Oh god.
And they chose not to do that. They chose to spend time with Max and Max's world, and they should have, I mean, we would have wanted it to just be Max's world.
Honestly. But, you know, they...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't, unfortunately, work like that in this world. But even a show like this that has incredible reviews and, like, so much good press and big names attached has not gotten renewed yet, which is absolutely bonkers.
Ridiculous. It's so well written, so well acted. It has so much heart. Literally, it looks very expensive. Just shout out Abby Jacobson. Like, I wouldn't have thought, you know, like, coming from Broad City, I thought she was going more in a comedy direction. And this is definitely comedy, but, like, this is giving a little bit something more layered, you know? So shout out to Avery Jacobson.
Coming through with the after Broad City revenge, yeah. Killing it. And at number one, I feel like it surprises nobody. Like, Reservation Dogs season two came back just solely to destroy each and every one of our souls.
Every episode.
Yeah, as a person who liked season one so much, but was definitely, like, not as smitten with it as everybody else, once it got to season two, I was like, oh, shit. I'm in every trouble. Episode. Yeah. They took such care and leaned in so much to, like the soul and the heart of, like, these characters and, like, their pasts and their journeys. Like, yeah, it was next level. I was incredibly impressed and cried so much during that season.
Oh my god.
It's just, and it just talks about a lot of universal topics without straying from being itself.
Yeah, it's I cried almost every episode. Like, it successfully, like, I was like, how is every episode making me cry? Like, this is ridiculous. But I do have a question. Like, I do want to know if, like, the story is going to continue. It felt like it ended to me. It felt like a complete ending. I understand if they're going to keep making more, but, like, story-wise, I feel like the story has been told to, like, where... I mean, I could watch this forever, honestly. This is, like, what I want forever. But, like, that one of the storylines, I feel like definitely was concluded.
It was very right. It was not open-ended the way that season one's ending was at all. But it's like one of those things where it didn't even have to be. It was so good that it's just, if it doesn't, like, smash every Emmy's category, I'm calling racism. I don't even care anymore.
Oh, like, dude, yeah, 100%. It has, that writing, like, the fucking, I don't know, it's just, oh, it's like,
yeah,
everything we asked for. Like, it's like, the more specific you get into a topic, the more you're actually being universal. And that's everything that we always want. Like, it's like, no, we don't want you to pander to shit. Like, be as specific as you need to be, because it's going to work. And that's, like, what Reservation Dogs is. It's just, like, a very certain thing, a very niche thing that is speaks to everyone. And I don't understand. Like, that and, like, I don't know. It's just, it was the best thing I seen come out this year. Like, y'all need to run and watch that and go heal your souls.
Absolutely. We do have some honorable mentions that wanted to make the list but didn't, but you should still watch it, and we're not going to talk about it, but we're just going to mention them super quick.
Yes, me or you first?
You can just, like, list them all off if you want.
Okay, yeah, so Heartbreak High on Netflix, go watch it. Mo on I think Netflix as well, go watch that. Running That, it's a Houston story. Little Women, a K-drama, oddly enough, very well written by the co-writer of The Handmaiden, by Park Chan-wook. And Euphoria, come on, it's gay. Everyone saw it.
Had us in a chokehold.
Oh, God, that one episode. Just that one episode itself deserves, like, every other episode, dear Lord, trash. And that's all I'll say about that. But, you know, shout out every day to Zendaya. She's fine. She's a not queer icon, excuse me, allegedly, but we love her and we support anything she decides to do.
And Somebody Somewhere.
Oh, Somebody Somewhere on HBO is delightful, queer, not queer show on HBO Max, and it's about a small town and being gay in a small town, and it's lovely. Go watch it.
All right, let's do film. We're Yeah, we're getting there. We're doing this. We're crunching away.
One movie obviously stood out, and the rest of these are cool, and I like them a lot, and they did what they were supposed to do. But, yeah, definitely TV just, like, knocked it out for me this year. But go ahead.
In number 10, which it took me a couple of watches to be convinced by it, but it's Bodies, Bodies, Bodies. Technically a horror film, much falls a lot more in the realm of satire comedy for me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, as diverse a cast as you can get these days, a lot of star power, good quality, really, really fun and interesting ending slash twist. Yeah, I know you had a lot of feelings about this.
I really liked Bodies, Bodies, Bodies. I thought it was fun. I thought it wasn't as Gen Z as they thought. It was more of like a millennial made this movie. And they did. It was a millennial that made this movie. And making it about Gen Z is kind of weird. Anyways, it was fine. I loved it. I thought it was so funny. Hilarious. I loved how fucking queer it was. I loved how diverse it was. And I hope they start making... I mean, like you said, there's always... In horror, that's where the diversity always comes first. That's where the political ideology, the satire, all the interesting things are really... They start in horror, and they kind of, like, seep into everything else. So I like my horror to be this, like, scary. I don't want it any more scary than this.
You like your horror to be comedy, yeah.
I like my horror to be satire. And that explains number 9 perfectly. It's Triangle of Sadness.
Yeah, another one about classism. Yeah, this one was interesting because the first whole entire chunk of the movie is one thing, or it makes you think it's going to be one thing about these beautiful people living their beautiful lives and not being satisfied, and then getting thrown into a yacht full of more people who are like that, and all the people who have to put up with their bullshit. And then how all that falls apart and how the tables turn, you know. So it's a big, huge commentary on society and humanity that, like, just leaves you with a lot of different emotions and, like, thoughts about the world. But I'm seeing a trend here, right? This year has been very much about classism. And I'm sure that has a lot to do with the pandemic and people, you know, realizing their worth, because essential workers, like, are we being serious right now, you know?
So Chuck E. Cheese, essential.
Yeah, so watch this movie. There was a Filipino actress who I think is, you know, very likely going to get some awards for her acting in this, and she's incredible. She plays, you know, the people that we love and respect in real life, which is, like, people who have to be in the service industry working for all these rich people. Yeah,
shout out our service workers forever. Y'all really be like, y'all are the backbone of society, and fuck everyone else for thinking that you're not. And y'all deserve to get paid way more than you do, because if y'all don't go to work, all this shit falling apart for show, like, every
literally
day.
Literally.
Literally.
And number 8 is Prey, which was such, like, a great, like, random thing. Like, where did it come from? Like,
whose idea, like, was it?
Who thought that this, like, you know, show based, or this movie based on, you know, this has so much, like, history as far as, like, where it comes from, like, was going to be such an incredible representation that we never would have even thought.
It was, like, getting to see Native American representation and sci-fi, sci-fi thriller, and, like, this kind of IP mixing together. Like, okay, yeah, do we need another, like, Predator movie, right? Like, no. But, like, this is literally the only one I've watched. Like, I have known about, like, Predator my whole life, and I've never gave a damn. And this time I watched it, and I was, like, fully engaged, fully, like, entertained. It was, like, really fun. It was a fun movie to me. It was a fun action movie, a fun sci-fi movie. And I love that it exists, and I need more things like this. Maybe not... You know, reboots, I'm tired of that. I understand that the movie industry is trash right now, and their only thing they're going to fund is, like, existing IP. But, like, if they can come up with original concepts like this, I'll take it. But, like, I really want something original moving forward. But, like the next movie that we'll be talking about is super original and super, I'm shocked it was even made. But you shout out to Prey. It's on Hulu. Go watch it, please. So number 7 is kind of leaning into, like, that badass woman shit that we were just talking about with Prey. And number 7 is Woman King. I've done a lot of like background on it, and I haven't actually seen the movie, but I have found out everything it's based on is kind of a lie. But shout out to this movie, because I'm just gonna take it as fiction, like everything else that gets made, it's fiction. I don't care if it's like based, one thing is based in truth and everything else is a lie, I'll take it. Shout out to Woman King. I haven't seen it yet, but Maitha, give us a little backstory on this.
Yeah, I mean, it was really well made, and they cast such an incredible like group of women to just like, yeah, just have all these incredible stunts and be incredibly powerful, and definitely doesn't shy away from like the men being super problematic here, but maybe it should have shied away less, I guess. The point is that, yeah, I mean, it was just an incredible feat, and I think just like a wonderful experience to see powerful women. But yeah, I mean, there's a reason I'm not at the top of the list. There's a big gap, I think, between like the really incredible movies this past year and the good movies this year.
Yeah,
you know, like the incredible ones are not many. But, you know, this was one that it made the list because, like, yeah, it's just the acting was just so incredible. The cast was so incredible.
Not just that, it was directed by Gina Prince-Bythewood. She also directed it, which, like, having a female director, having the cast that they had, pretty fucking crazy to have Viola Davis as a warrior. Like, yes, we want more of that. Like, give us more of like Oscar winning Oscar ladies fucking fighting. That I love that. That's for me. but if you do want like the real backstory and what's going on after you watch this movie, because it's like, oh yay, action, it's like kind of like Marvel, it's not real. If you want the real backstory on what this is actually based in and it make you really sad, is that Lupita Nyong'o did a documentary on these warrior women. It's called,
and we'll put a link up on
it's not that easy to watch. It's in German on YouTube if you want to watch it. Other than that, you do have to like rent it. She did do a documentary where she gets completely like sidewinded by the truth about the Dora Milaje. Well, you know, she played a Dora Milaje in Black Panther, but ultimately, this wasn't the reality. Okay, so the name of the documentary is Warrior Women, and you can find the documentary online. It's not very easy to find. Where she goes into Africa and actually interviews people about the truth of what these women were going through. She goes into Benin, into West Africa, and it's pretty gacho, actually. But if you want the truth about that, just look it up. But it's nice, you know, to have our Marvel superhero fiction. So, but right. It's good to be also educated. So y'all should watch that. And we'll put a link.
Yeah, get both sides of it. But speaking of, like, probably one of the few controversial picks on the list for us was number six, The Barbarian, or Barbarian is really what it's called, which is a horror film that I think for horror fans was just blew shit out of the water. Like, we were just incredibly impressed. One, because it did the Scream referential thing, like, you know, you're not supposed to do all of these things, but they do all of these things. And it's hilarious. But yeah, it's like, I don't want to say anything because it's not a film that you should spoil by any means. If anything, I would say like go into it completely blind. That was how I did it. And I loved it. But yeah, it was just a horror movie that pushed boundaries. And it, you know, talks about, you know, feminism and toxic masculinity within generations and levels of it. So I highly, highly recommend it. It's one of like my top films of the year overall, not just UIC lens. It's incredible. And yeah,
I felt so differently.
I know.
I think it deserves its place on this list and where it is. I agree with that. I'm just, you know, I'm one of those people that's like, if I'm going to scream at the TV, you better listen to me. Like, so that's all. That's my nitpicking is just like, girl, this would, what a are white you man doing? Directed this. That's you I just know a white this. Man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It he did. So I'm just kind of like, other than that, yeah, it was a fun ride. And that's all I have to say about that. So go watch it. It's a fun ride. But, oh, man. Oof. The common sense just never existed. Number four, I really fought for.
Number
which,
five.
Oh, excuse me. Number five, I really fought for, even though I didn't give it the highest rating. But I do surprised believe in the me. Movie.
Yeah, you surprised me with that one.
Yeah, like, I really believe in Due Revenge as number five. And I believe in the movie itself because I love everything that it's playing with. I love the idea of it. I love that we're referencing Clueless. We're referencing 10 Things I Hate About You. Stylistic, costume design, the way these characters are acting and talking. It was all very much a very, very specific thing that I don't know if it'll, like, go on to be, like, a cult classic. But it's definitely interesting. And I like it, and we need more of it. And it's also directed by a woman, so more female-directed references to Clueless. Like, more female-directed movies about lesbians and gay girls teaming up. Teaming up is a strong term. But referencing my favorite movies, you know? My favorite movies in the 90s. So keep making shit for me.
Queer and Latina, yeah.
Yeah, give me queers and Latinas. Like, that's my shit. That's my brand. Clueless, my brand. All those things. I was just really, you know, picky about it because, you know, you're picky about the things you really love because you want them to be better. And I'm hoping they keep making better shit. What about you?
Yeah, no, I mean, like I said, I was surprised you wanted it on this list. I thought it was an incredibly enjoyable movie. I love the twist on it. I think... they did so well. I had very little complaints about this movie, even though it didn't quite steal my heart away like the next film.
No.
which actually, if we just quickly move on to it, number four, which is Crush, I became really obsessed with this movie and I loved it. It was my go-to be happy movie. And yet I honestly would not have given it a place on a top 10 list if you hadn't convinced me into it. because it's, you know, it's a sappy rom-com-y high schooler movie, right? It's not anything that I don't expect it to be nominated for an Oscar, you know what I mean? But I love it, and we loved it here at COIC, and I think it's gonna have an iconic place within lesbian, like,
lore
film lore. Yeah, so obviously, yeah, so it made top four. It was number four because of that, and like, I could watch that movie 1,000 times. I love it. I can quote it, like,
see,
I do quote it and nobody knows.
That's the thing, like, that's what we talk about on this podcast, is like, you need, like, queer people deserve, like, happiness. Queer people deserve their stories to be told and for us to enjoy things. Like, this perfectly, like, embodies everything we talk about, you know, diversity, queerness, like, fair joy. Enough.
Yeah. I'm glad you convinced me to put it on the list. I loved it.
Yeah, it deserves its place. We need more Crushes, more Due Revenges. And speaking of diversity that we always, like, obsess about, because duh. Number three is Black Panther, because Wakanda Forever. That was cool. We didn't time that. We didn't plan that. That's cool.
Yeah, it was incredible. I mean, come on. Like, Namor?
Yeah. Please. What? He's being like, and it's not just that, like, he's wearing little skimpy outfit. And that,
oh, it's
like,
not.
It's really not for us. Like, it's that he's just, like, the coolest dude. Like, he is openly criticizing the colorism in Mexican culture, like, in Mexican media, like, out loud to
the actor,
Mexican media.
Tenoch Huerta, yeah.
And I love that. Like, that takes a lot of, it takes a lot to do that out loud. And
I just know that man has been waiting to leave, like, the Mexican film world and go into the American world just so he can talk mad shit. I just know he's been waiting for that shit. And I'm so happy for him that he's there.
And to see him, you know, become, like, a star out of this movie. And not just him, but, like, the women warriors that were also like in this, I felt like I was rooting for everyone this time.
Michaela Cole came in, loved it.
Central American representation. I was just so cool to see that kind of like representation in like a Marvel movie, which, yeah, gross. I hate Marvel and Disney. Boo. But at the same time, like, it's also really, really heartwarming, and it I don't know, it like makes you feel good. Like, there was this like TikTok, this YouTube video of when Neymar, what's his real name? Oh my god.
Tenoch Huerta.
Tenoch, wow, yeah, and he's in everything. When Tenoch Huerta went to go see a mural that like they put up of him in like in the EFE in Ciudad de Mexico, and he like teared up and he was like about to cry, and he was just like, no, like, this is very real, like, you know, you can't, you know, someone did this on their own accord, like, they weren't paid to do it, like, someone just made a giant mural of like Neymar's character, and it's his face, and it's like, he's this like indigenous fucking face that, like, to anyone else, yeah, you see that guy everywhere in America, but like in Mexican media, you do not fucking see his face. You're not gonna see him.
No,
it's seriously. Always some like fucking Swedish looking motherfucker, and he speaks Spanish magically. It's never a guy like him, and I love that he's just kind of like a regular dude, but he can really act, you know, and I love that. And he's not a regular dude by any means. I don't mean it like that, but he looks, he's just not a white Swedish looking dude. That's all. So shout out to Black Panther. Everything it did, everything that happened, you know, RIP, Chadwick, and, you know, even, you know, all this time, the silence we're hearing from the American Latinx community, and by the silence and the Latinx community I'm talking about, is homegirl who said, where's the Mexican? Where's the Latinx Black Panther? Girl, it's right there. And they're the ones that opened the door for us. So you can just shut your mouth, please.
For real.
She should not be named. Shout out to her. I know she gave a lot of opportunity to a lot of people, but there's just a time and place. And girl, shush. But shout out to Black Panther. You know, solidarity within the community whole as a whole. So
yeah. And then also quietly Latinx representation. There's a film called The Fallout that came out at the very beginning of the year. Don't know how I came across it. It was completely random, I think. And, you know, I've been calling this for a couple of years now. Jenna Ortega is going to be the biggest fucking star.
You have. You called it.
Yeah, like forever since before The Fallout, before Scream. Like around you is probably when I started gathering. But yeah, Jenna Ortega stars in The Fallout. It's a movie that's hard to watch. It's about grief, very heavily about grief. Ooh. After a school shooting specifically.
Yep.
And she absolutely destroys it. She just does so incredibly at portraying like the complexity of grief, especially when you're young, you know, because it makes so much less sense when you're young. So yeah, shout out to that movie. It stuck with me so much, and you know, helped me have some catharsis during a tough time this past year as well. So I recommend it to everybody that can emotionally handle it, because yeah, everybody's been discovering that movie ever since Wednesday came out, because of course Wednesday has now launched Jenna Ortega into the sky. It's just absolutely
I've never even seen it.
Off the sauce. Yeah, so
still never seen it.
All the queers found The Fallout because she has some queer moments on that film. So I highly recommend it. It stuck with me the whole year. The whole year. I love that film. It's number two in my real list, not just my CYC list.
Yeah, no, it deserves its spot. It's tackling extremely heavy topics, but it's very real to being an American student, being an American kid, just being in America, and like living in the U.S. is much about mass shootings. And if you know you don't want to see anything mass shooty wise, please don't watch this movie. I'm really serious, don't watch it if you're not ready to watch it, because it's entirely about grief, and it's entirely of the moment of what the United States is right now. It's very real, and it's about what happens after that. You know, it's very violent, and then it's very sad. So if you don't want to watch that, please don't. But it deserves its spot as number two. It's such a heavy topic that people don't want to talk about. And the more you don't talk about it, the more the reality of it is that nothing's happening and nothing will continue to happen. And people have to fight. And it's always an uphill battle against weird Second Amendment people. It's like, no, let's get to the reality of mass shootings and the violence and what happens to people, you know? And it's a very small indie movie on HBO Max. Go run and watch it if you're able to and you want to. But it's a very important topic and we shouldn't shy away from it ever.
Right.
Whew. And oh my God, the best movie I think I've seen last year in 2022.
What could it be?
I saw it three times in theaters, and every single time I like showed someone new. I was like, "Hey, do you want to go watch this movie?" Hey, do you want to watch this movie? So shout out to me for watching this three times in theaters, because I never felt that way about a movie before, but it had literally everything I like for a movie to be. Shout out to Everything Everywhere All at Once, which I think we did an entire episode on.
We did. Well, that's got to be one of the few that we've ever just focused an entire episode on. Like, I can't even think of what other one we've done that for other than, like, I don't know.
One Day at a Time.
Maybe. Yeah. But it's incredible. I also watched it in theater three times, and then once on the plane, and then once when I went to go see a Q&A with the Daniel. So I think like five times. Oof. But
worth it.
By the fifth time, I was able to get through it without crying a lot.
Okay.
Just a little.
Okay. You know?
it doesn't cease to amaze me. And I've recently found out that there's some people who can't go there. And by some people, I mean people who can't relate to the child of an immigrant experience.
We know who it is, too. It's always white guys.
Not even.
Men don't relate to it as heavy.
I don't know. I think
men don't find it
in white women quite a bit.
Really?
More so, yeah. Yeah. Because, I mean, the thing about white men is that they're always going to be film bros, and so they're going to like force themselves just so that they can be in the know, you know.
Oh, wow.
At least maybe that's just my LA experience, you know.
Gotcha. No, so, in my personal experience, the men were like, it was cool, and every woman that I spoke to was like, oh my God, that was the best thing I've ever seen. But shout out to Joe, you always loved it. But I don't think like men will like straight cis men that aren't like super cool. I don't think they're gonna vibe with it. Like the super cool ones will, and I think the rest of them
will if they're, you know, probably like men of color or like children of immigrants. I would say they'll 100% get it.
Yes, I agree. I think it's very much a specific experience that a lot of people
should translate.
Yeah, like I feel it's so strange, you know, because it's one of those things where like I like a lot of movies with like white people in it. I talk a lot of shit, but I like a lot of like I fuck with Lady Bird. Don't get me started. I love Lady Bird, but like I love a lot of movies where like I'm completely not represented. I don't need any of it, you know, and I still love them. So I think it's strange. But anyways, this movie, it perfectly encapsulates being a queer daughter, child of an immigrant and of an immigrant parent who's could have been a lot of things. And it's really healing, because maybe, you know, it's very personal, it's very healing, you know, for a lot of people. This is this is free therapy for a lot of people, because this is the closest they're gonna get, right? So for a lot of us. So oh my God, I feel emotional just talking about it right now. Like, I don't think I can talk about it without trying to, like, I'm gonna cry.
No, I think, like, in a personal level, like, it truly changed relationships that I have without even having to speak to the person. Like, I was able to, like,
let go.
Fix these, like, this inner turmoil that I didn't realize was a thing a lot of people have. So, it just kind of changed a lot. It changed a lot of perspective, and Michelle Yeoh single-handedly made us love our immigrant mothers a little bit more, you know?
Oh my God. Shout out to Michelle Yeoh.
Yeah.
Steffi Sue, if she doesn't get nominated for anything, I hate everything in the world, because
What an incredible performance.
She wasn't just, she, again, it was like one of those performances that's just like, if y'all don't hire this woman to be in everything, because she's proven on such a vast, like, oh my God, she can be anything everywhere all at once. Like,
right.
A perfect movie. Yeah. We're never not going to like this movie, and I'm never not going to love. Film of the decade,
like, for sure.
Like, dude, there was a In the Mood for Love reference. Like, I'm obsessed with that movie. It's the most romantic movie in the world, and it's, you know, queer subtext for, no, it's not. It's not queer subtext, but that's how much I like it, that I'm just like, it's gay because I like it that much. That's what makes it gay. But, you know, shout out to In the Mood for Love, and I'm obsessed with this movie. Please go watch it. Don't watch it with your mom, unless your mom is very, like, sex positive. That's all I have to say about that. Don't watch it with your mom.
I don't think it's that bad.
You don't think it's that bad?
No.
I just don't want to be there for that. For my mom to go, I don't want to be there for that, mom. You can watch that in your free time. I will not watch it with you. But anyways, what a year.
Yeah, we have some honorable mentions for films.
We have plenty.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's honorable mention, The Worst Person in the World, because it technically came out in 2021.
Oh my God.
But I don't think anybody saw it until 2022, at least not in the States. Such an incredible, like, film about, like, relationships and, like, being a person and just how tough shit can be, you know? I absolutely loved it. And then there's also Marcel the Shell. Surprisingly wholesome movie about a shell. Just don't know how they got that much love and put it in a movie, but they did.
Tears.
Then Scream. Like, what a return. What a fucking comeback. Like, Scream never misses. They haven't missed once. And they're coming back in, like, 2 months. I'm very excited. Shout out to Jenna Ortega once again. The
For
Menu.
Scream.
Right.
Oh,
the Menu, like, another film that was touching on classism, you know, so Triangle of Sadness, bodies, and The Menu are like the chaotic three of this genre this year, last year. And then last but not least, Tar, which I didn't see, but I've heard a lot of things about.
Kate Blanchett's gonna win an Oscar. If she doesn't, y'all are just lying to yourselves, and I call bullshit. Not like the best movie I've seen, but a great movie that I've seen, and it's just because, like, I haven't, you know, it's not really hitting all the things for me, but she better win. That's all I have to say about that. She's acting her ass off. Like, go Kate Blanchett forever.
Go ahead, Kate. But yeah, we've held your time long enough, so all I'm gonna say is to go check out our Patreon episodes, because we've been posting, like, more on there than on our regular feed, and still, which is not that much. But we're at patreon.com/CYC podcast if you'd like to support us monetarily or, you know, whatever. And of course, we have our Instagram and Twitter at CYC podcasts, where you can go chat
with us. Go follow us.
But yeah, thank you for listening, and thanks for the patience. We haven't had that many complaints about not being around. I don't know if that's a good thing, but
yeah, I don't know. But yeah, well, you know, shout out, happy new year, happy 2023, and
hashtag save warrior nun.
Oh my God, hashtag save warrior nun. Don't be fake, y'all. I'm at Fried Papito on Twitter,
at Mike the Panda on Twitter and Instagram. Hit us up.
Bye, guys.
Bye.